The following is a Barrett Sports Media production. We do the digging, so you don't have to.
We've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bringing you the biggest stories from the industry you care about. This is the Media Noise Podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome in. We are going NFL heavy today. Andy Mazur is going to join me momentarily. We will talk about the Manning cast. I got to tell you, I cannot think of a lot of subjects that have generated as many articles and stories at the site 48 hours after it happened than the Manning cast. We will get the point of view from a play-by-play man of what he thought about the first edition and where he sees it going from here. We will also talk to Ryan McGuire about game day programming, pregame shows, postgame shows, and why so many radio stations across the country get it wrong. But first, it took a few years, but it seems like the NFL is waking up to the idea of having to create new fans. Right, last year we saw the Nickelodeon game in the playoffs. Before that, we have seen Disney XD broadcast the Pro Bowl. And speaking of Disney, we just learned this week that they are exploring a kid-friendly NFL broadcast as well. That news comes out a week after we find out Nate Burleson is going to be hosting a weekly NFL show on Nickelodeon, surrounded by kids. I think this is all a smart move by the NFL. Remember, just a few years ago, when we talked about football in relation to kids, right? It was all about, should kids be playing this sport? The information about head trauma had come out. Maybe we were a year or two away from the movie Concussion, but certainly ESPN was doing their investigation, same with 60 Minutes, and there was a lot of questions about whether or not parents should be letting kids play tackle football. Don't think that doesn't trickle down. Don't think that fewer kids playing tackle football means fewer kids are watching football. The NFL is coming up with, I think, a really smart workaround. I liked the Nickelodeon game. I thought they did a really great job. I think Disney and ESPN in the past has done a really great job with their Star Wars baseball broadcast, with their Marvel NBA broadcast, and I'm excited to see what they could bring to the NFL. A lot has been said, a lot has been written about the Manning cast, but quote, it was a lot like Beavis and Butthead meet Statler and Waldorf, was written by our own Andy Mazur. Andy, a man after my heart, two of my favorite things in the pop culture universe, Beavis and Butthead and the Muppets. Tell me why you make that comparison for the Manning cast.
Well, you know, the fact that the Manning brothers were kind of going back and forth at each other really kind of made me feel like, all right, well, this is a little bit of Beavis and Butthead. They're reacting to what's going on the screen. Maybe it wasn't music they were talking about.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, they were criticizing plays and play calling. And, you know, Peyton Manning, after the first overthrow by Derek Carr, 6-11. One pass into the game, and he's talking 6-11. So I'm thinking, why do we always come here? I guess we'll never know. It's kind of like a torture to have to watch the show, you know? So kind of keep my mind, you know, with Statler and Waldorf sitting up there in the balcony going, nitpicking everything that they see. So it was kind of that little nice little combination to me.
Overall, did you like the Manning cast? I found for me, it took a little getting used to.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, because I watched the first quarter of the game, and man, it was just inundating me with information, and Peyton Manning was just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. I was like, okay, man, take a break, you know, pump the brakes here a little bit, let this game breathe a little bit. I thought as it went on, they got a little more comfortable with not being in the same room, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I think that the guests really added something that I didn't think that they really would, to be honest with you, because you know, you hear a guy like Travis Kelce is going to come on, or you hear that, you know, Charles Barkley is going to come on, and you think it's going to be the same old song and dance with Barkley. I mean, he's great. I mean, whatever you put him on, he's awesome. But I never thought it would take a turn like it did with, you know, the Larry Bird question and the Michael Jordan question, but they were different because these guys were opening up to the Mannings and they were having a lot of fun, which to me made the whole thing.
You mentioned Peyton was just talking and talking and talking. I saw a college football writer tweet that the Manning family text chain must be Peyton explaining every moment of his day and Eli just responding, okay, over and over again.
It or was with a thumbs up emoji, you know?
Right. Right. I mean, that is one of the things that I kept reminding myself when I was watching is not only this going to get more comfortable, better, whatever you want to call it, as the game goes on. Like, there are 10 of these during the year. Week two, you know, in football, you say your biggest adjustment is from week one to week two. That is probably going to be the same in broadcasting. And really, by the time we get to the 10th one of these, it's not even going to be the same show.
No, but I think that, you know, the props were great. I mean, the helmet situation was right. Hilarious. You know, Peyton Manning imitating John Gruden. I mean, I thought that was great. Now, listen, they had a great game to kind of go with this first game because, you know, Gruden was once an ESPN guy, and obviously he's very well imitated by a lot of people and opens himself up to that. And, you know, the Ravens obviously have a very great quarterback in Lamar Jackson, who we found out through the broadcast went through the Peyton Manning passing school, didn't bring his cleats and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, how are they going to adapt to a different game with maybe less colorful people involved? They're going to really, you know, have to continue this banter between themselves. Did they show us everything that they had here in this first show? I don't know. I mean, these guys have been brothers for a long time, and I'm sure that there's going to be other things that have come up during the courses of their careers where they'll be able to give each other a little grief.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this coming week they'll have the Packers, so I'm sure they both have personal stories about facing off with Aaron Rodgers, but I wanted to get your perspective, and we'll wrap up here. I kind of wonder, looking at this from a play-by-play man's point of view, I got to wonder if the game gets out of hand, if the Packers just take it to the Lions on Monday night or vice versa, maybe then that is a moment where traditional broadcasters really kind of get envious of what the Mannings have and how they are able to fill time. I kind of wonder if what happened in the game on Monday night was the worst case scenario for the first Manning cast.
Yeah, because it was such a great game and there was so much stuff to digest and to dissect. Yeah, it was a close game and the overtime was a joke. And, you know, we got to hear Russell Wilson expound upon the fact that he hates ties in the NFL, which was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, they're, you know, a blowout situation. I think that, you know, the traditional broadcast can't go off the rails. I mean, that's just you can't do it. But, you know, there probably is going to be a blowout situation if it's not this week in week three and then whenever they're going to do another one. Not having a host was good for them. Mm-hmm. And I write that a little bit in the piece. And I think it was the right direction to go because I think a host would have slowed it down to the point where it might've been a little bit too constrained. These are not traditional guys. They're not broadcasters. So yeah, if they're late to a break or they're still talking, coming out of a break, who cares? I mean, you're not watching it for that. Producers are going to have to control it a little bit and especially give it a little bit of a direction, things that we're not going to be able to see from behind the scenes. But, you know, I think Peyton's kind of proven to me, at least, and I think to some others, that he's quite capable as a quote-unquote mm-hmm. host. He's got a great personality, and he's very comfortable on camera and in front of the camera.
Ryan McGuire joining me now. Ryan, you wrote an interesting piece on the site this week, not because it was something that I never would have thought of. Pre-game and post-game coverage around the NFL seems like a no-brainer that it should be held in the highest regard by a sports radio station. It's something I never would have thought of just because it's not a problem I would have ever thought existed, that too many radio stations just aren't putting their A-level talent on NFL pre- and post-game shows. It seems crazy to me.
Yeah, some are, and some have been, and they're the ones that are doing it the right way and the ones that, quite frankly, are winning because they have really good content. But you know, weekend programming on radio stations tends to be an afterthought.
Right.
And, you know, that's an amazing thing to me when you see, you know, what NFL Sundays are, you know, and have been and continue to be in this country. And that is a national holiday. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a chance to, from early in the morning till late in the evening, you know, really have a captive audience. You know, you have a chance, you know, before and after the games, particularly to really, 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 you know, hone in listeners that may not have been, you know, tuning into your station regularly. And I think the biggest reason for that is just that there is such a thirst for information now more than ever when it comes to the NFL. You know, people are looking for information, and unfortunately, they have to go at least I know I have to go in, you know, a bunch of different places to look for it. There's a real opportunity for stations, radio stations, sports radio stations to, you know, put the time, the effort, and the resources into having pre- and post-game programming on Sunday, whether the flagship station or not. That is, you know, a true one-stop shop for all this information.
And look, there are certainly some markets where you could say the same thing about Saturdays, right? Like, it's not the major markets, but somewhere like a Columbus, like a Madison, a Birmingham. And I bring that up to say that, you know, no matter the level, any market does have this sort of countdown to an emphasis on football. It is the way we in this industry sort of build our calendar all year long. So why is it you think that the stations that do this wrong do? Do you think it is just another instance of costs have to be cut somewhere, and this is a place that, at least, you know, at first glance, is an easy place to make those cuts?
That's one reason, I think. And I outlined a number of them, I think, in the piece. I think, you know, on the opposite side of that reasoning, I think people see football pre- and post-game shows as an easy way to sell remote broadcasts.
Right.
And, you know, that's, to me, I've never been a fan of remotes ever. You know, I think that, you know, while you can make some easy money on them, the actual content quality of what comes out of the speaker usually is trash,
right?
Because, you know, where you're usually doing these remote broadcasts, bars, mm-hmm. you know, where it's noisy. You got a bunch of drunks spilling drinks all over your hosts. I mean, it's, you know, it's again, I think that you have to look at what's coming out of the speaker, and you know, that's where it all starts. That's where it all ends. The rest will usually take care of itself in terms of, you know, your profit and loss and what revenue you're bringing in. And again, I there's a number of stations that are doing it the right way. They're putting in high level production. They're getting the right information out there. They're using good talent, or they're investing in bringing in, you know, really, really, mm-hmm. you know, talented hosts to showcase these shows. But, you know, not everybody is. And again, I think that's a missed opportunity.
So I'm going to give you an example of a station that I think does a great, great job with their Sunday pregame. And then I'm going to ask you for a different example here in a second. But I think uh-huh. that what WDAE does around the Buccaneers on Sunday is very much that celebration of this is the city's holiday leading up to a Buccaneers game. Now, that's easy to do when you're WDAE because you are the flagship, right? Or at least you're in the building with the flagship. I think the Rock station in that cluster is actually the Bucs
sure.
flagship. I do wonder, though, give me an example, because you mentioned it in the article. You mentioned it here at the beginning when we first started talking. Give me an example of a station that is not the flagship of the local team that you think does an excellent job with their game day program.
You know, I think, to be honest with you, you need to look at ESPN 1000, the place I work at right here in mm-hmm. Chicago. You know, we do an excellent pregame show and postgame show on all the Bears games. It gives me the information I need. The talent that do it, are they do a really good job. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in the building with them. I'm saying that because I know that, you know, the philosophy around doing pre- and post-game shows the right way is one that's really important to us. So I think that,
Ryan,
you know,
Ryan, blink yeah. twice if Mike Thomas is behind you and you need help right now. That is it for today. Judging by traffic at the site this week, the thing that I need to be paying attention to, I guess, is week two of the Manning Cast coming up this week. And maybe we'll have Andy Mazur on again for a second week in a row. Thanks to him. Thanks to Ryan McGuire for joining me today. We'll talk to you next week.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Thanks for listening to the Media Noise Podcast with Dimitri Ravanos. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. And check back soon for new episodes. To stay up to date on the latest sports media happenings, visit BarrettSportsMedia.com.